It is time for our hymn sing, and I am happy to help, but I told Pastor that I get to pick the first hymn then, so I like 389, and then I'll be happily taking your requests for hymn sing, but let's start with 389, Freely, Freely, and we'll do both verses. One more time. 381. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us, and we'll do first and fourth verses. 381. Okay, so let's see, 171, there's something about that name, and yeah, let's just sing it twice, sounds like a good idea, 171.
There's just something about that name.
sorry, Brent. I heard 437. 437. This is my song, and we'll do 1 and 3. Is that okay, Brent? 1 and 3. 437. Thank you so much for joining in our hymn sing. Thank you, Brent. That was a beautiful choice.
Thank you. Thank you, Cooling. That was beautiful as usual. Welcome, all of you, on this beautiful day. Welcome to the United Methodist Church of Yucaipa, the House of Faith. And we have our April birthday still happening because it's still April. And happy birthday to all of you. And then also today after church, after coffee time, we are also having the Chosen, the next, I don't know what you call it, the next step, the next episode, that's it. The next episode of the Chosen. I hope you all join us. There won't be soup and bread this time, I'm sorry, but still a good thing to come to see. And then the Saturday movie for May, it will be on May 6th at 11 o'clock in downstairs in the House of Faith Theater, number 2. And it will be 8 for 8, 8 for Brady. I've seen it. I'm coming again. It's really funny and cute. You ought to come. And then also, we would like to ask, to remind people to bring cereal. I guess we're getting a little light on our cereal. And bring it anytime, not just for the second Sunday of the month. Bring it all time and we'll take it. They're in definite need, I guess. So anyways, so if you'll stand and join me in the call to worship. I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except our Lord? It is God who arms me with strength and keeps my way secure. The Lord lives. Praise be to my rock. Exalted be my God, my Savior. And the first hymn is Marching to Zion, number 733, verses 1 through 3. Passing of the peace, wave, shake hands, hug
yeah,
each other.
You can go around and shake hands and greet one another. We also like to welcome June and Joyce and Lois. Lois is back home. So glad to see you, Lois. And Austin and Edna, I don't know whether they are back here or in Philippines. Are you back? All right. That's fantastic. And April and Bill and David. Who else? We have two on phone line, and I'm sure one is Barbara. Welcome, Barbara. And the other one, maybe Helen. Helen moved up to north with her Susie last Wednesday, and we had a nice farewell party a week before, so I think she's up there settling comfortably, and we want to continue our prayers for the continual healing upon Helen.
And now it's time for the joys and concerns. Raise your hand if you have one.
Just for continual prayer for my neighbor, Camille, that had a radical bilateral mastectomy. She's going through her third round of chemo and radiation, and it's really kicking her butt, so she really needs a lot of prayer.
Camille. And I hate to bring politics into church because Jesus is the only one that's going to resolve this world, but I'm going to be protesting tomorrow at City Hall at 5 o'clock. The city council has been doing some really shady things, bringing in a new city manager, jacking up all the prices, and now they're pushing development through that no one wants. So if you want to talk to me about it later or read it in the paper, the News Mirror had a really great article about it, but I'll be there tomorrow.
Because people need to hear the one.
Okay, yes. Sorry. Anyway, I get the News Mirror thrown on my driveway every week. You know, they have to have a certain number of publications go out for listings in the back. You know, that's legal stuff. But anyway, I read it. I look at the editorials. And Deb Davidson had a six-point write-in on this the Serrano Estates. Because I followed it. You know, I didn't grow up in this town and have a lot of vested interest, but I keep up with what's going on. But you had a six-point article in there that I read twice. And it was so well done. And I said, that Davidson? That's Deb. So anyway, thank you for writing that in. I know the corrupt background of some of what happened with the transfer of the city supervisor and the attorney. And think Bell Gardens, think Beaumont, think now Yucaipa, what's going on. But anyway, that's political. But I kind of keep on both ends of it.
Let's make Deb our mayor.
Please. I would. I kind of like our mayor. He was one of the ones that stood up to them, so.
I just want to let everybody know that Lorena is back in the hospital. I think this is her second day, something like that. Anyway, they're trying to figure out what to do about her, whether it's, you know, dementia or whether it's her back. But she's in a lot of pain, needs a lot of prayer. And her sister's getting down there just about every day, I think. Mm-hmm. Jan is there with her. So anyway, keep that family in prayer. They need a lot. Thank you.
Yeah, the pain is so much in pain, and I mean, she's in so much pain, and I didn't understand why they are so, lagged on pain management. But my wife told me that doctors are at Kaiser, they are being watched of how much pain medication they prescribe, so they are hesitant to prescribe, but. Lorena definitely needs the right pain management, so please continue to pray for her.
They don't want her to become a drug addict.
Well, when
this is one of the things that hospice does very good at controlling, because when you need pain medication, you need it, and you will not become a drug addict. So
right, when you need it, you need to take it. Yeah.
Hi, my name is Pat Shores. I've got a joy. I got to go down to see my new baby nieces the other day. They're getting bigger. Allison was there also, and I didn't know she was going to be there, but I had offered to go down and help my niece do a little yard work, and I figured I would get to see the babies too. And Allison just came to see the babies. She didn't help with the yard work, but anyway, that was a joy. I want everybody who lives in town to show up at the meeting at 5 o'clock. Is it Monday night, Deb? Monday, we're going to support our city, support Deb. We need as many people there as possible, so there's nothing better to do at 5 o'clock on Monday night, so why not show up?
I'm going to be there at 5, but apparently there's going to be news coverage at 5:15, so the more people that come out in opposition to this, the better.
Deb, before you go in, Alita, you know, you are here with us, and you may not recognize some people in here, so why don't you introduce yourself? So glad to have you worshiping with us today.
Well, I kind of wanted to be incognito, but I'm Alita Kirker. I have been attending the church for quite some time in the past due to various illnesses and deaths of my family. I've been away for a long time, so I'm back tentatively. We're seeing how it goes. This is a church of my heart, so I'll come when I'm able. So thank you.
Welcome back. Welcome.
We're very glad to have you back, Alita.
We are.
Hi, Katie, because I was 16 years old.
And we are always glad for Katie's joy and worship.
Congratulations. Very nice, Katie.
Anyone on Zoom?
Austin and Edna are waving.
Are waving.
Austin, you have something to say? Unmute.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I just wanted to say we're happy to be back from our trip. We were in Europe, and but my wife tested the first day she got back, and she had COVID, and so that's why we're not in church today. But she tested last night, and her COVID is already gone now, so she's negative, but we thought we better not go today because of that. And then also I wanted to say that keep praying for Ruben Penulosa. He still his kidneys are still not functioning up to the standard. He's still having kidney failure. And also for her sister, whose husband did pass away, her brother-in-law did pass away from the cancer he had, and so her family also needs prayer. But we appreciate you all, and can you hear me okay?
You're going to
see. And I'm getting ready to go to Missouri to be with my dad for about 10 days, so to try to take care of him, because he still has the knee problem. He can't take care of himself anymore. He's at home, right? With somebody 24/7 taking care of him. So anyway, that's what I had to say. And good to see everybody.
Yeah, welcome back. Welcome
good to
back.
See you too. I almost forgot. I'd like prayer for my husband, Paul, who's going to be flying to Minnesota to be with our daughter, who's going through her first birthday without her husband on Tuesday. So he's going to be there for a few days, but I'm praying for safe travels and a good trip for him.
If you'll join me at the unison prayer. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From then he shall come to judge the quick and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us continue our prayers as we join our hearts together in silence. Lord Jesus, we see so many troubles out there in the world and many troubles in our lives. But regardless what is going on, there is a peace deep in our hearts. And deep in our heart, there is a song that sings, "You are risen. You are the living God. You are with us." So, Lord, we acknowledge your presence in our lives. And we pray that we will receive this blessing from you today, that we will be reassured of your presence. We will be able to sense your presence even in the areas of our trouble. That the faith may give us the joy of living. The faith that will cast out the gloomy spirit out of our hearts and out of our lives. So, Lord, we hold on to you. We hold on to you even more in the middle of our pain and suffering. Because, Lord, you showed us over and over and over in our lives that you are there for us. You know every situation we are in. And you reach out unto us with answers, with solutions, with breakthroughs. When there is no one in the world, O Lord, who can help us, you are there. So we come to you, O Lord. And we ask you to manifest your power, your presence in our lives today, in the life of our loved ones, in the life of this community, in the life of this nation, and in the world today. And with you, O Lord, we can meet all the challenges of life. And with you, O Lord, we can be victorious. So give us the courage and strength to face all the challenges of life. And may we prove by doing so, by trusting in you, trusting in your power, that you are the living God. So as we come to you, O Lord, we acknowledge that you are our sovereign God. You are our eternal companion who has everything under your control. So we give into your hand all the cares and all the worries and all the cause of anxieties. And we ask you to take them from us and make our burden light. We submit ourselves to your goodwill and ask you to continue to fulfill your will in our lives, continue to use us for your glory. So we commit ourselves to carry out your will in our lives. And we pray that you will use us to magnify your name and you will use us to fulfill your will in our lives. So now we join our hearts in prayer together, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Now is the time for young at heart moments.
Today's story, back by popular request, is Sydney and Norman, A Tale of Two Pigs, written by Phil Vischer, illustrated by Justin Gerard. In town lived two pigs. They didn't oink or eat slop. No, this isn't that kind of story. They wore suit coats and went to work. And even though they lived right next door to each other, they didn't know each other's names. The pig on the right was Norman. He was a very good pig. Rules and hard work had always come easily to him, and it showed. His house was neat and organized. He always looked his very best. He gave money to the needy and never missed church on Sunday. Norman's teachers liked him when he was young, and his boss at work liked him now that he was all grown up. He was pretty sure God liked him, too. After all, he was a very good pig. Norman figured that everyone could be as good as he was if they'd just try a little harder. He wondered why they didn't. The pig on the left was Sydney. Things didn't come quite as easily for Sydney. Rules and systems and schedules seemed, well, a bit slippery. One minute he thought he had them, and the next minute, whoops, where did they go? He was forever running 10 minutes late. And he could never manage, no matter how hard he tried, to get his tie perfectly straight. Not like his neighbor. What was his name? Sydney got in trouble in school, which frustrated his teachers. He got in trouble at work, which frustrated his boss. He knew God was watching, and figured he was pretty frustrated too. But most of all, Sydney frustrated Sydney. Why was everything so hard? Why couldn't he be more like... Oh, what was his name? Sydney felt broken, and some days that made it hard to get up in the morning. Some days, in fact, Sydney couldn't get up at all. Since Sydney was usually late and Norman was usually early, they very seldom saw each other, unless, that is, they happened to fetch their mail at the same time, which is exactly what happened one bright morning in October. Now, normally, if Sydney saw Norman, he would look down and shuffle back inside. He was sure Norman was staring at his tie or his hair or the papers half stuck into his briefcase. He was sure Norman was looking down on him for being messy, which for the most part was absolutely correct. But this day, Norman didn't look at Sydney's tie and Sydney didn't look away because they were both staring at the small, pale blue envelopes they had received in the mail. One was addressed to Norman and the other to Sydney. Had someone invited them both to the same party? Eager to unravel the mystery, the two pigs opened the envelopes. Norman read, Dear Norman, and Sydney read, Dear Sydney, followed by, I would like you to come visit me at 77 Elm Street next Tuesday at your convenience. I have something to tell you. They both glanced at the bottom of the page and read, Sincerely, God. Sydney and Norman reread the invitations several times to make sure they had read them correctly. God wanted to talk to them on Tuesday on Elm Street? Sydney panicked. Deep in his heart was a familiar feeling, the feeling that he had felt when, as a young pig, his teacher had sent him to the principal's office. Terror, panic, doom. Norman smiled. He, too, felt a familiar feeling. The feeling he had felt when, as a young pig, he was called up in front of the school to receive an award. Anticipation. Happiness. Pride. Sydney taped the invitation to the inside of his front door so he wouldn't lose it.
Norman entered the date neatly in his date book. Both pigs had trouble sleeping that night for very different reasons. Tuesday came. Norman awoke early, dressed, and headed down the street with a pale blue envelope firmly in hand. Just waking up, Sydney saw him pass by the window and rushed for the shower. Norman walked tall and proud. Others on the street noticed that he looked a bit taller and more than a little puffier than usual that morning. His hair was neat and his tie extraordinarily straight, much straighter than anyone else's on the street. God would certainly be pleased. Norman found the address and went inside, greeting the woman at the front desk with his important voice. She directed him down a long hall, through a heavy wooden door, and into a large room where he found God sitting behind an immense desk. The sight made Norman nervous, but then he thought, what did he have to be nervous about? He was a good pig. God walked around the desk and smiled at the puffed-up pig. I'm glad you could make it, he said warmly. I have a few things to tell you. First of all, God began, I love you. Norman smiled, though he wasn't surprised. Secondly, your goodness is not the reason I love you. Norman startled a little. What a curious thing for God to say. Thirdly, God continued, you're not as good as you have led yourself to believe. You're prideful. You're selfish. You look down on others simply because things don't come as easily for them. God looked a little sad now. I love them just as much as I love you. Don't look down on those I love. Then God smiled and returned to his desk. That is what I needed to tell you. Norman swallowed hard. That was the award? That was the commendation? Confused, he turned and ran down the hall, past the front desk, and back out onto the street. His head was spinning. He felt dizzy. Was God finding fault with him? He was a good pig. He noticed his tie was off kilter and hurried to straighten it. Not perfect, but at least better than that fellow over there in the yellow jacket, or that guy in the blue, or any of these people for that matter. Then it hit him. He was looking down on those people. Right then, right there, just like God had said, and he'd done it yesterday and the day before, 20 times a day at least. Norman's face grew hot. God was right. He was selfish. He was prideful. For the first time in his life, the good pig had to face the fact that he had been very, very bad. His pride and his goodness was his sin. He buried his face in his hands and hurried home, tears splashing on his neat gray suit. From his window, Sydney saw his neighbor return in frozen shock. Was he crying? Sydney couldn't breathe. Oh dear, oh dear, if that's what a visit with God did to that guy. Oh, he was doomed. Hands shaking, Sydney tried one more time to get his tie to lie just right. Why was it so hard? Now where was his hat? Not on the hook, of course. Oh, under the couch. Hat in hand, he peeled the pale blue envelope off the door and stepped outside. A bird was singing that morning, but Sydney didn't hear it. The sun was shining brightly, but Sydney didn't hear it. Doomed, he thought. Doomed. Sydney trudged down the sidewalk and suddenly was back in school, a little pig headed down the long hall toward the principal's office, hands sweating. Heart racing. Doomed. He'll see right through me, Sydney thought as he turned onto Elm Street. My messes, my mistakes, everything. And then he was there. Though he had walked as slowly as he could, he was there. Sydney stepped inside. He tried to say something to the woman at the front desk, but found he couldn't speak. She smiled and motioned him to the heavy wooden door down the hall. He gulped. A few moments later, he stood before the door. He wanted to run away. He wanted to hide, but there was no place to go and nothing to hide behind. So, hat in hand, he pushed open the door and slipped inside. And there, behind the desk, was God. Sydney gulped again. I'm glad you could come, God said, smiling. Sydney tried to respond, but he couldn't make a noise. I want to tell you something, God continued as he came around the desk. Sydney glanced around nervously. Maybe if he apologized. First of all, God began, I love you. Sydney startled, surprised. Secondly, God continued in a quieter voice, I love you. Sydney was gripping his hat a little less tightly now. And thirdly, God paused very close to Sydney, I love you. The look in God's eyes warmed Sydney right down to his toes. That is what I wanted to tell you, God said as he stepped back toward his desk, still smiling. Sydney stood frozen for a moment, and then, realizing God had finished, he turned and ran quickly from the room. I don't understand, he said aloud when he reached the street. Didn't he see me? Didn't he see who I am? It didn't make sense. And then it occurred to Sydney. I did it. I fooled him. Sydney looked at the others on the street, smiling. Yes, that must be it. I looked good when it was most important, and he bought it. Just then, Sydney caught his reflection in a store window. His hair was rumpled. His tie, off kilter as usual, sported a large toothpaste stain. His smile vanished. That couldn't be it. He couldn't have fooled anybody, not looking like that. Sydney was confused. There was only one other possibility, that God just loved him, exactly like he was, messes and all. Sydney felt the warmth he had seen in God's eyes welling up inside him again. Others on the street would later talk about the small, messy pig they saw that day that appeared to be, well, glowing. All the way home, Sydney looked for words to tell everyone what he was feeling, but all he found were tears, happy tears, lots of them. The next day, two pigs emerged from their homes on a bright, crisp October morning and looked at each other. The pig on the left, named Sydney, who seemed a bit taller than before, looked at his neighbor's neat, straight tie and clean clothes and smiled. The pig on the right, named Norman, who seemed ever so slightly less puffy, looked at his neighbor's crooked tie and rumpled hair and smiled. It was a real smile, too, the kind that comes from deep inside, the kind he hadn't smiled in a long, long time. Sydney and Norman became good friends. There were still mornings now and again when Norman would wake up feeling a little puffy, but all he had to do was remember what he had learned at 77 Elm Street. Then puffiness would quickly vanish and his real smile would return. And as for Sydney, he still had his share of messes, though not as many as before. And there were still a few days when he wasn't quite sure if he could get up in the morning. But if you stood outside his window on one of those days, this is what you'd hear. First of all, he loves me. Secondly, he loves me. And thirdly, he loves me. And that was all it took. This is one of my favorite stories, so it's always nice to read it over again. I have to tell you, I lost my hardcover book. I lent it to someone or put it somewhere, but I ended up buying another one, and it was paperback. And at the end, there was a really sweet letter that Phil Vischer wrote, and I won't read the whole thing to you, but it was about him comparing himself to Norman and his wife to Sydney. If you are Sydney, ask God to help you quiet the voices of shame and despair and replace them with God's own still small voice whispering, I love you. I love you. I love you. He ends it by saying, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the beauty of the gospel. We are all broken. We're all messed up pigs. When we can accept that, we're ready to become new creations God intended us to be. And that's when the fun starts. Amen.
Our next hymn is Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me, number 361, verses 1 through 3.
Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed we have seen the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. Not the labors of my hand can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Fall I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die.
The scripture reading today is Luke 24, 1 through 12. The resurrection of Jesus. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly, two men in dazzling white clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to the hands of sinners and be crucified and on the third day risen again?" Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all of this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping, he looked in, and he saw the linen clothes by themselves. And he went home amazed at what had happened. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Good morning, everyone. So good to see you all. And I pray that we will all experience God's presence as we worship together this morning and even hear the message from God that God wants all of us to hear. I extend warm welcome to all those who have come to join us via Zoom. I don't know if I recognize Joyce there, but June and Joyce are worshiping together always on Sunday morning, so welcome. The perfect pastor has been found. You are not surprised? He preaches exactly 20 minutes and then sits down. I might go a little bit longer this morning. He condemns sin but never steps on anybody's toes. He walks from 8 in the morning to 10 at night, doing everything from preaching sermons to sweeping. He makes $100 a day, gives $50 to the church, drives a late model car, buys a lot of books, wears fine clothes, has a nice family. He always stands ready to contribute to every other good cause, too, and to help panhandlers who drop by the church on their way to somewhere. He is 36 years old and has been preaching for 40 years. He is tall on the short side, heavy set,
in a thin sort of way and handsome. He has eyes of blue or brown to fit the occasion and wears his hair parted in the middle, left side dark and straight, right side brown and wavy. I might want to try that. He has a burning desire to work with the youth and spend all his time with the senior citizens. He smiles all the time while keeping a straight face because he has a keen sense of humor that finds him seriously dedicated. He makes 15 calls a day on church members, spends all his time evangelizing non-members, and is always found in his study if he's needed. Unfortunately, he burnt himself out and died at the age of 32. In other words, the perfect pastors are all dead. So I'm not one of them. People's expectation for pastors is very high, and it is almost impossible for them to meet all the conditions of their churches. In my opinion, this is the dilemma for almost every leader, and it's very interesting. I found some similar humor for the Jewish rabbis as well. Everyone's need is different, and no leader can satisfy the desire of every member of his circle. But there is one who can and who does, and we know who that is. That is Jesus. Jesus has every answer to every problem. He satisfies everyone's need. He is all things to all men and women. What would be a name or an object that suitably describes this particular characteristic of God and Jesus? The Bible says, God and Jesus as the rock. One big historical event was closely associated with God as a rock. Immediately after Israel entered the desert, water scarcity became a big problem. At the foothill of Mount Horeb, God split a rock and produced water for people to drink. I don't know whether you have seen the picture of it, like at the bottom of the Mount Horeb, or Sinai, they call it. There is a big rock, even today, and split right in the middle. It's still standing. And I don't know whether that was a real rock or not, but that's where it happened. Splitting a rock to produce water was not the conventional wisdom of people, but God's idea and God's miracle. It demonstrated God's power, God's love, God's faithfulness. Israel remembered and recited this incredible intervention of God all through the Old Testament times. Let me briefly quote other descriptions of rocks in relation to God in the Old Testament. Rocks were frequently used as an altar during the time of Judges. In the first book of Samuel, the Levites placed the Ark of the Covenant on a large rock. Rocks were described as a fortress, a shelter, a refuge, and a provider of shade. Eventually, Israel identified God as the rock. Jacob called God the rock of Israel. In Deuteronomy, Moses called God the rock, the Savior. David frequently called God his rock. The Lord is my rock, my fortress and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. The prophet Isaiah used similar terms to address God, such as the rock eternal and the rock of Israel. Isaiah 44, is there any God beside me? No, there is no other rock. I know not one. God as the rock continued in the Old Testament time. Jesus once asked his disciples how they understood him, and Peter answered, You are the Messiah, or Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus responded to Peter's confession, You are Petros, Peter, which means rock in Greek. I will build my church upon this Petros. The rock here is the believer's confession of faith to accept Jesus as the Savior. From another angle, Jesus is the rock, the cornerstone, the foundation of the church. The Apostle Paul identified the rock in the Old Testament was Christ. In Romans, Paul quoted the prophet Isaiah, who prophesied about Christ. See, I lay in Zion a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall, and the one who believes in him will never be put to shame. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul mentioned that the rock in the Old Testament was Christ. Then let me read that to you. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and the rock was Christ. To Paul, Jesus was the spiritual rock that provided the spiritual drink for Israel all throughout. Doesn't it sound like the word of Jesus to a Samaritan woman who came to draw water in the heat of the day, avoiding contact with anyone? Jesus approached her and told her that he had water to quench her spiritual thirst. Jesus said, Whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. God is understood as the rock. So is Jesus. In this regard, God and Jesus are the same and share identical characteristics of the rock. So you understand, right? God the rock, Jesus the rock. Now, I like this part, you may not have done it. I like us to apply Jesus the rock to Jesus' burial. Okay? Now, think about it. Jesus' body was placed in a tomb cut in a rock. The entrance to the tomb was closed then with a big stone. So look at the whole picture. Jesus, the rock, became a part of the rock tomb through his burial. Rock was placed inside the rock tomb, and it was covered with the rock. What do you see? It looks so natural, doesn't it? Not many people would look at the burial of Jesus from this angle. But the whole picture of a rock tomb with the rock inside seems so natural to those who saw the grave then and to people in every generation, including us. It is natural that everyone dies at one point and is no more. This was precisely the attitude of those faithful followers of Jesus the Rock on Easter morning. They went to the tomb to see the dead body of Jesus, who once was their rock. When they did not see it, they wondered what possibly could have happened, but the resurrection never crossed their mind. Jesus, dead body of Jesus supposed to be there because it's so natural. It's supposed to be the part of the rock tomb. No one with a sound mind can deny the historicity of Jesus. His birth, his Jewish ethnicity, his public life, his teaching, and his death. No one question about them. But one area of doubt is the resurrection of Jesus. Did he come back to life? If he did, is he still living today? They see Jesus as the rock that once existed, but do not see him as the living rock who lives eternally. It was easy for Israel to remember that God split the rock and quenched their thirst in their past. But it takes faith and spiritual eyes to see God, the living rock, continues to walk with us and provides the spiritual water for us today. So we should be able to see Jesus, the living rock today. But it is sometimes difficult to find him, to find the living rock today. Why? It happened when I served a church in Metro Boston. Someone stole my parishioner's white BMW. You know, if you remember, in the 90s or somewhere around there was a lot of car theft going on. And, you know, I remember that I installed like a low jack that you put it inside the car. It was one of the kind of advanced technology then to track down where your car was in case your car is stolen, right? I felt so bad for him and naturally began to look for the same kind of car in the streets of Boston. I mean, everywhere I would look for the white BMW. And you know what? What amazes me was so many people drove white BMWs. That was incredible. Roger Van Ooyek, in his book, A Kick in the Seat of the Pants, suggests this. Take a look around where you are sitting and find five things that have blue in them. You may want to just look around, see, right? Is there five blue colors around? You will see a lot of them. He continues, with a blue mindset, you will find that blue jumps out at you, a blue book on the table, a blue pillow on the couch, blue in the painting on the wall, and so on. In like fashion, you've probably noticed that after you buy your car, you promptly see that make of the car everywhere. That's because people find what they are looking for. Now, finding Jesus, the living rock, should be much easier than finding things with blue or finding the same kind of cars. Because Jesus, the living rock, is everywhere, everything to us, and does everything for us. He quenches our thirst. He protects us. He provides for us. He walks with us. He provides shelter, and he is a refuge for us. He meets our every need. Everywhere we look, we should be able to find him. But let us admit that we do not always find Jesus. You have experienced it. I have experienced that too. Why? You know the reason? The reason has to do not with God, but with us. We have the same problem as those women at the tomb. The angel said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? When we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we look for the dead Jesus. When we are in a tomb-like situation, we look inside the tomb. We won't and we cannot find Jesus, the living rock, inside the tomb. Jesus doesn't belong there. You know, God is omnipresent, right? You know what that omnipresent means? God is everywhere. You try to run away from God as far as you can, you know, run, God is going to be there. You climb up the mountaintop, God's going to be there. That's some, right? God is omnipresent. God is everywhere. But you know what? There is a one place in the Bible that says God is not. You just read it from the gospel. The only place that the angel said, the Bible said, God is not here, was inside the tomb. Officially, biblically, true. God was not there. Where? Inside the tomb. Our tendency is to look at troubles and linger around them. But we need to turn our eyes and look beyond trouble. Do not look inside the tomb. God is not there. God is absent. God is where? Outside the tomb. When we look beyond, we surely find Jesus working in our lives. Morning by morning, Jesus, the living rock, gives us new mercies and provides all we need. Amen.
Now would be the time for the presentation of our gifts and tithes, and we would like to thank you for continuing to give your gifts and tithes in the plate at the back of the church or into the office. Thank you.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures he below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Christ whose power of lives. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord Jesus Christ, we are forever grateful for your cross, and we are so blessed with this privilege of living this life with you in your presence. So we give you thanksgiving, we give you praise, we give you honor and all the glory unto you, for you are in our life. We ask you to receive this gift of thanksgiving unto you, O Lord, and bless it that it may be used to extend your kingdom in the world today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our last hymn is Because He Lives, number 364, verses 1 through 3.
God sent His Son, they call Him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy He gives. But greater still, the calm assurance, this child can face uncertain days because He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. And then one day I'll cross the river, I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know He reigns. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, You are our living rock. You are our living God. Because You live, O Lord, this life, however troublesome it may seem, is worth the living. Because You live, O Lord,
we can face all uncertainties of tomorrow. Because you live, we can do anything, for nothing is impossible for those who believe in the living God. So send us forth, O Lord, with this full assurance that you are the risen Christ, that you are the living rock, who walk this journey with us until the very end. Send us forth, therefore, in your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, now in peace, never be afraid. God will go with you each hour, every day. Oh, now in faith, steadfast, strong, and true. Lord, He will guide you in all you do. Oh, now in love, and show you believe. Reach out to others, so all will be. God will be there.